You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. My name is Jed, and today I'm joined by Billy. Say hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. We are back. We're back on the daily podcast. We missed a day. Absolutely gutted. But not my fault. Couldn't get anyone.
I was available.
Yeah. The rest of us weren't, unfortunately, and we didn't want to leave Billy on his own to just talk to himself. So
I feel sorry today, for the listeners.
You said it, mate, not me. we're back. We're going to be, like I say, hopefully keeping the daily podcasting going. We're going to be talking about today's Premier League football. Five Premier League games on today. We'll start with the early kickoff, Arsenal at home to Manchester United. Did you watch the game, Billy?
I did, mate. Yeah, I did. And I was really impressed with Arsenal. You start off and get a goal 3 minutes in. It's always a nice way to start, isn't it? And
absolutely.
United just didn't get in the game. It was all Arsenal. And I mean, fair play to them. They played some fantastic football. But United just didn't help themselves. And then the second goal was the most bizarre thing I've seen in a very long time. Nketiah originally scores it. That goal gets cancelled. And then VAR give a penalty to Saka, who passed the ball to Nketiah for that goal. Does that make any sense to you? Because you've not seen it, have you?
No, I haven't. I've actually really well prepared for today's podcast, and I haven't seen any of the football because I've been out in Birmingham all day. So what happened? So Saka's played the ball through.
All right.
Was he then fouled off the ball or something? Or?
No, the play was, I think it was Xhaka dinked the ball over to Saka, who was making a run past the defence.
Right.
Telles then goes into the back of him pretty much. He knees the ball off to Nketiah, who's then one-on-one with De Gea and finishes.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So the goal was ruled out for offside. And then they were like, oh, hang on, we may have a penalty here. I think personally it was a bit soft anyway. But seeing United capitulate is quite funny, so we'll take it.
Well, I guess in that situation, they do have to go with the first defence, don't they? So if that was the foul, then they probably made the right call. I haven't actually seen it, so I don't really know. But the only thing I have seen is the first goal. And the United defending was just absolutely calamitous, weren't it? I think horrendous. two players missed the cross.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that Rafa Varane, a four-time Champions League winner, I think, would be missing something like that. And then you've got Telles just behind him, who I think cost $35 million in his own right a couple of seasons ago, would then miss it as well.
It's quite comical, really. Both of them just taking heavy swipes at the ball, really, and just completely missing it. It's like Sunday League stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, they got punished for it. United are really not in a great place right now. Me and Simo spoke about this a couple of days ago with Ten Hag coming in. It's if you're a United fan, you'd be really frustrated because the top four was achievable for them this season.
Oh, definitely.
And they've just really, really fallen off in the last few weeks.
Mm. Even if they got a win today, it would have changed things. But losing the game has just completely ruled them out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, whilst Arsenal and Tottenham aren't the most consistent sides, they're probably not going to drop as many points as United need them to drop now. Between now and the end of the season, as well as that, United need to also win their games, and then they're not doing that at the minute. So it's just one of them, really, isn't it? It just looks like it's sort of beyond them now.
Another thing with United in this game is they had chances to get to to equalise. You know, they had the penalty that Bruno Fernandes hit the post with. You know, they just conceded, and then they go down the other end and score. Ronaldo scores, and it's okay. Something may happen. They may get back into this. They had chances, but they just didn't take them. And I think the penalty, whether you think it was a penalty or not, I can't remember the incident off the top of my head, if I'm being honest with you. But why Fernandes is taking it in the first place is a bit bizarre to me, considering Ronaldo was still on the pitch. I thought that Ronaldo, it was against Villa.
Yeah, they've done that before. Didn't they? Martinez was telling Ronaldo to take it. Shithousing a bit, didn't they? Like, what? Yeah, that's a weird move. You would have thought Ronaldo being Ronaldo.
And he's not missed one either. He hasn't missed one since. So whether he said, look, try and boost your confidence up or something and grab a goal, maybe. I don't know. But I think in a situation like that, in the situation that United are in as a club, you just need to be scoring that. And the person that's going to score it is Ronaldo, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not exactly had... Considering United's form, he's not exactly having a bad season, is he, Ronaldo? You know, he's still been in amongst the goals. You know, he's done what he's been brought in to do, really, and that is at times dragged them through games, and like you say, potentially could have dragged them through this one if he's took that penalty. But I don't know whether that was the turning point or not. But the stats, I'm looking at the stats, they do look fairly even, but you know, from the sounds of it, Arsenal just a cut above.
They definitely deserve to win. They definitely deserve to win. And that third goal as well, what a strike from Xhaka. Just sealed it.
Yeah, yeah. Arsenal, do you think they make the top four?
I think after Spurs dropping 2 points to Brentford in the late kickoff, I do think it's certainly theirs to lose. No, they've still got Spurs to play though, so that's going to be with every passing game week, that game is just getting bigger and bigger.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to be the decider, I think, isn't it? Whoever wins that game is probably going to go on and finish in the top four.
But there's still games in between that though, isn't there? So if Arsenal come off the back of these two wins against Chelsea and United and lose to, I think it's West Ham.
They've got West Ham away next. Yeah.
I think it's West Ham, yeah. And they lose to that, and then Spurs go and win. It's flipped round again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be such an interesting end to the season with this top four chase.
Yeah, of course, even after that, you look at Arsenal's next game after that Spurs game is Newcastle away. Like, at this rate, I'd fancy Newcastle to probably win that.
Yeah.
The way they're going. So it's really unpredictable. Tottenham's next game is against Leicester. They've still got to play Liverpool away. So potential to drop points there as well. So, yeah, it's still very much all to play for. And Chelsea can still get sucked into that race for fourth place as well, I guess, because they haven't really been in the best of form at the moment. So
that'd be something if Chelsea dropped out, wouldn't it? That really would. just to add to the troubles that they've currently got as well.
God. Yeah, it would be an awful end to the season, wouldn't it?
Funny mind.
I'm going to move on to Leicester Villa. Obviously, the game that you've watched today, mate. 0-0. Nil-nil, from what I've seen from your tweets and things like that, you weren't too impressed with Villa today?
No, it was a massive opportunity missed to climb up the table, gain some points on Leicester. They've, since our last game 2 weeks ago, they've played four games. So, and looking at that game today...
Should really be taking advantage of that.
We should really be taking advantage of that. They've got one eye on Roma, who they play on Thursday. I think it's Thursday. It is, isn't it? Europa Conference League. Anyway, so they've got one eye on the semi-final against Roma.
Yeah,
we should. It was such a massive opportunity, and it's just gutting the way that we just allowed them to dominate, really. And yeah, it was frustrating. It was really frustrating. Saying that though, a point away to Leicester isn't a bad point, and keeping a clean sheet as well you can never be disappointed with. It's just a shame that we didn't manage to stick the ball in the back of the net. So I think in hindsight, after you look at the performance, I don't think any Villa fan will be complaining with a point.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stats at the moment. It seems like Leicester had the bulk of the ball, as you'd probably expect, being the home side. Neither side really had many shots on target. So a 0-0 probably seems fair, but
I think neither team really deserved to win either. Like I say, though, Leicester certainly dominated the bulk of the ball.
Yeah.
But they didn't really trouble Emi Martinez too much, as you mentioned in the stats there. I think we had the most attempts by quite a way, but we just couldn't. They were, I think, I haven't seen the expected goals actually, but I'd expect that they were quite low in this game. Neither team really had any fantastic chances or must scores, if you know what I mean.
I've actually got the stats up. I can tell you the expected goals. So Leicester's expected goals was 0.27. Villa's is 0.82. So I mean, a small victory.
Yeah, at least we would have expected goals. No, with more shots, you're going to expect that, I suppose. But
yeah. Villa had 11
even that.
In total.
It's still quite low, isn't it? Really, for expected goals.
Oh yeah, very low. Yeah.
Anyways, it's just one of them, and to get a good end to the season, which is vital for us. We can't be finishing 15th. You know, league position's what everyone goes off, and even just to lure players, to attract players, you want to be finishing as high as possible.
Yeah,
and 15th is not going to do that. So it's vital that we get a good end to the season. We've got good fixtures coming up, and there's certainly positives to take from today. And we're just going to have to build on that clean sheet. It's going to sound like Michael Owen, but if you don't concede, it's a structure to build upon.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. You're in that weird, like that weird limbo at the minute, aren't you? Where you're not going to go down, but you can't really do anything else. So,
no.
You know, every game's kind of a dead rubber, but at the same time, like you say, you're just playing for league position. But Villa being down in 15th, I mean, it probably speaks more about how well other teams have done around them, the likes of Palace, Southampton, Brighton, etc. That, you know, they've been able to climb above them. But I mean, mid-table, bottom half is from an outside perspective, is probably where Villa are at, I think. Realistically, I don't think that this season they've been a top half side. So I think you can't really have too many complaints with how it's gone. Obviously, not being in a relegation battle is nice, isn't it? It's just, like I say, you're in that weird limbo zone.
It's just frustrating, you know, with the money that we've spent. It's like I was saying to Jake the other day, we've had Villa this season, we've had a lot of like inconveniences, like these little tiny things here and there, with things such as like new manager bounce and things like that going against us. And eventually they build up. And one today is Jamie Vardy being back, Jamie Vardy coming back. Although he didn't score, it's just his presence of being there, him coming on, getting the crowd up. And it's like these little tiny things. You can't say, oh, we lost because of this, we didn't win because of this. But it's these little tiny inconveniences that do have an effect on games. It's got us all season.
No, absolutely no luck.
It genuinely feels like that. But I suppose it will feel like that for any club. I'm looking at it with claret and blue tinted glasses on, aren't I suppose?
Definitely, mate. Definitely are. everything's gone against us this season.
I'm saying this speaking to a Coventry City fan who's not going to sympathise with me one bit either.
No, not really.
Jake was quite really, understanding, mate. Actually,
Oh, well, you know, nothing ever goes Liverpool's way either. So I can understand that as well, to be fair. We've just, you know, for me, I'm just kind of like, come on, just accept it. Things don't go your way, you know, as a Coventry City fan, yeah, you know. So things have only started to go our way in the last like 5 years, but everything else has just been downhill constantly. So you just sense, you learn to live with it. That's football, isn't it?
It is football. It is.
Yeah.
It's just one of those seasons for us.
We managed to survive playing against Andy Carroll today, which is good.
So, I know how much you're an admirer of Andy Carroll as well.
Yeah, unplayable on his day. Yeah. Right, we move on to Man City, Watford. Man City 5, Watford 1. Watford pretty much doomed now, I think. Roy Hodgson in the Championship next year.
Definitely. Whether Roy Hodgson goes to the Championship next year, I'm not too sure. But,
yeah, well, to be fair, given Watford's history.
Yeah, exactly. Watford
certainly Roy Hodgson might not even make the end of the season at this rate, to be honest.
That'd be hilarious if they just put, like, on the just before the last game, you go, Roy, sit this one out, mate. You're done.
Yeah. Thanks for your efforts, Roy. But yeah, it's just, you know, this isn't going to work for us. the damage is done, really, I think. And not that Watford will have been expecting anything from today anyway. But obviously, they've gone away to Manchester City. They've had a pasting like they expected. They probably weren't expecting to score, and they managed to get a goal. So, fair play to them.
At the positives.
Yeah, exactly. I think, as we were saying before we come on started recording, Watford and Norwich looking gone now at this point. Norwich obviously have lost today to Newcastle as well, at home as well, which won't please them. But yeah, like I say, they're both gone now. They'll need a miracle to survive. In fact, I think what's mainly keeping them up at this point is just Everton and Burnley still having games to play on them.
Yeah.
It will be confirmed within the next few weeks, I think, but Watford and Norwich both coming down, which is a shame. Someone has to go, though. So.
it's what I expected, to be honest with you. I expected these two teams to go down, and they haven't really put up too much of a fight. They've probably put up more of a fight than what I thought they were going to. But yeah, they've been down and out for a good while, I think. It's going to be interesting what happens in the Everton Burnley thing. But getting back to the Watford Man City game, it's like you say, what else do you expect, really? Man City are top of the league for a reason, and Watford are at the bottom of the league for a reason.
If you're a Watford fan who went into today thinking, oh, we might get something here, like you'd be laughed at, like, honestly, you'd be forgiven for thinking that, you know, 5-1's a good result at Man City if you're a Watford fan. With Norwich, Norwich and Fulham are just absolutely doomed to just swap places forever, aren't they?
They're never going to be in the same league again. Like,
one goes down, one comes up. One goes down, one comes up every year. they might as well put Norwich's name on the Championship trophy for next season already, and put Fulham's name on in the bottom three.
20th. Like,
it's going to happen, isn't it? But it's nailed on. I'm really keen to see what happens with Burnley now, because win they got the other night was massive, massive win over Southampton on
it's going to be Friday such night. An interesting it's going to be such an interesting end to the season, to see how that finishes. You know, I think if Everton go down, it's got to be one of the biggest shocks, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly shock relegations,
100%.
In Premier League history, no one was expecting Everton to go down this season, and I suppose no one was really expecting Burnley to go down either. No, certainly not to see Sean Dyche get the sack anyway.
No, of course. I was just looking at Everton's next game. Obviously, we've got Liverpool away tomorrow, so no points there. Chelsea at home then on the 1st of May. that's a tough game. They have still got places where they can pick up points. Like they've still got to play Watford, for example. But realistically, things aren't looking too great for them. And Burnley, could they get that new manager bounce when they finally appoint Big Sam? Like, who knows? Is Ben Mee going to get the job permanently at the minute? Because he's
looks like it.
Like, honestly, it's still
a cracking job. That is far.
That to me right now is more exciting than the title race. So
Frank Lampard versus Ben Mee.
what a duel. What a duel. Honestly, if Everton come down, I'll be just like, that's the big game I'm looking out for then next season on the fixture list. Like,
but would they come straight back up?
I think probably, but then again you'd have to wonder how many players they'd hang on to.
There is that, but also I remember when Villa went down and we expected to come straight back up, and it's such a hard league to get out of. It really is. When it's your first time, you don't know what to expect. Yeah. You're playing weekend, midweek, every week. It's such a tough league to get out of. So, you know, it obviously depends.
Championship's mental.
Yeah, it obviously depends how many players you keep hold of, which players you keep hold of, but you're going to say that they lose Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
And then probably Gordon as well, who's one of the very few bright sparks, if not the only bright spark this season.
Yeah, I think Pickford probably goes as well to a different Premier League team. Which would make a big difference to Everton as well. I know he's not, obviously, he's never in the greatest of form, but he's still a very good good keeper on his day. They would have to completely sort of overhaul the squad. And it is a tough league to get out of, the Championship. It's one of them where it really anyone can beat anyone. You look at, I'll use Cov as an example again. We've done the double over Fulham this season. And we've battered them both times, and Fulham have absolutely ripped the rest of the league to shreds. And now Mitrovic has scored 40 goals. So, like, you really can't predict what's going to happen. It's such a crazy one. Which is the big worry, isn't it?
It really is. Because, like you say, the Championship is such a crazy league, and top of the league can lose 4-0. To the bottom of the league just as easy as they could beat the bottom of the league 4-0. It really is why it's such a good league and a really enjoyable league to watch as well, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
There's good football on offer, and there's always like tight gaps between points. You know, you look at the playoff race and stuff like that, and there's only ever a few points separating, the top six and like bottom half of the table. Then it's like it can all change around completely within a matter of two or three games. So yeah, it's been like that. It's literally like that all season as well in the Championships. Mm. Madness. So I'd love to see Everton chucked into that mix. Realistically, I know we're not, we are biased on this podcast, aren't we? But I personally prefer to see Everton come down than Burnley. But that's just a personal preference in terms of away days for next year.
I think, from my perspective, it'd be funnier for Everton to go down, obviously. But I also don't really like Burnley. I'm going to be honest. They're just an awkward team to play. They're always an awkward team to play. And they've annoyed me for several years now. Yeah, exactly.
Good. Yeah, that's what the Premier League needs. The Premier League needs teams like Burnley. Like, to just throw a spanner in the works for people. They don't need Everton's finishing mid-table every year. You need a Burnley.
Most teams turn over Burnley and then they turn into like prime Barcelona whenever they play us. It does my head in. Get them down in the Championship and give them a taste of their own medicine.
Well, I want justice for Sean Dyche, though, so I want him to stay up.
To be fair, it'd be more justice
for Sean Dyche if they got relegated. But
yeah.
well, we'll see. It's all to play for. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but it is still all to play for. And we got Norwich basically been relegated today by Newcastle pretty much, and then Brentford and Tottenham have drawn 0-0. Spurs dropping points in the top four race, as we talked about earlier. Brentford can be really happy with their season this year. I think they're 11th at the minute. They got four games left to play. They're well safe from relegation. That's an achieve. That's the aim really for Brentford.
A lot of so, a lot of people had them to go down.
Achieve that. Well done. They did. Yeah. I honestly thought that they might struggle a little bit at the back, because the way they played in the Championship last season was very much just sort of throw everything forward, and they were. You know, they did get caught on the break quite a lot. They just outscored everyone last year. but it's worked for them this year. I think Christian Eriksen's made a big difference to them. I'd kind of like to see him stay there, but I think that he may well be able to get a move. Yeah, he may well be able to get a move somewhere else off the back of his good form.
For sure.
Where, I'm not sure, but yeah, he's got options, yeah. I don't think
he necessarily saw it like this. But I think most of us saw it as him going to Brentford just to get back up to speed and just to prove his fitness and prove that he's able to play football again, which is fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, with the way he's been playing, it's almost Christian Eriksen of old, isn't it? And he's not going to stay at Brentford. He's not going to stay at Brentford, unfortunately.
No, they'll be lucky if they do keep him. He's got a lot of options in terms of where he could go, especially if he's on a free. I think he's only on a short-term contract there. So I would imagine that a lot of teams will be sniffing around him, hopefully looking to bring him in. That is just about going to do us for today. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about, Billy?
Not me, mate, no.
No, all good. Right, we're going to go off and watch the boxing then. thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to be back every day. We're trying to bring regular podcasts, so stay tuned and cheery bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.